So I want to come to this substance, because once again, we, you know, lots of Muslims, and for years and decades, Muslims were very supportive of the labor, because mm-hmm. the understanding is that they are more talking about social justice and yeah. open to, you know, something which is quite different on the international scene mm. than what we had from within is nothing really serious about, you know, a better understanding of the Muslim presence after 7/7, and then even on the domestic, this was on the domestic, on the international
field. Well, Labour helped create this discourse of the war on terror.
Exactly. So this is a very important point. So what can we expect with the elections after, for example, the Conservative Party was quite critical as well with, you know, Islam and what they call there is no representative for Muslims in this country. So what can we expect?
Well, it's still early days, and there could be possibly more, but here it could be two hypothetical scenarios. Hmm. One is that because the Conservatives and Liberal Democrats, although they did all support the invasion of Afghanistan, because the wars are more associated in people's minds with Labour, it won't be seen so much of a U-turn and so much of a coming down if they start scaling back. So, for example, we have heard noises from Liam Fox that there will be a timetable. And these are not the kind of things that we've heard before, so this is a hint that they will be getting out. A lot quicker. On the other hand, that doesn't mean that the forces of reaction have disappeared, because we're still hearing the rhetoric around Iran and the whole double standard. So, for example, today the front page in The Guardian is that this secret agreement between South Africa during the apartheid regime had this secret agreement with Israel about being provided with nuclear weapons from Israel. This has highlighted what a lot of people already knew, that Israel's got this nuclear weapons program, which it has totally denied up till now, and the fact that even if it has, it would be responsible with it, whereas all this pressure has been on Iran, which hasn't even got a nuclear weapons program. So this double standards is being more and more exposed. As to are we going to see a more positive outcome on that, I don't know. So there's a positive and negative scenario. Another positive possible scenario is that because the Lib Dems are in coalition, and to be fair to them on the issues of civil liberties and human rights, they were more open. They were in terms of their manifesto. They did advocate for human rights, unlike the Tory party, which said it would very much go back on some of the agreements that we already have. And the test case for this is what we just saw a few days ago for May Expand, with the two Pakistani young guys, 21 years old. They were not even charged, and it doesn't take much to be charged under anti-terrorism laws, because we have hundreds of them now. Yet there wasn't enough evidence to even charge them, never mind convict them. Yet this special court, where you don't get to hear what the evidence against you is, where you don't, even your lawyer doesn't, has deemed that these people are a security threat. And when you get ministers coming out and talking about them in that way, now that shows how far we've gone under Labour. Now, are we going to see a change under this government? We're hearing positive noise from the Lib Dems, but I was disappointed to hear Theresa May saying she was actually disappointed that they were not deported. Now, why should they be deported if they haven't been convicted? So we're hearing these contradictory noises still. But
So if we listen to you, there is some concerns about the domestic policy, about international policy, and you were mentioning the situation with Iran, and then also about security, because what we got from the Labour in charge is really something which is a policy on security which is discriminatory and not fair at all. So, and now you say wait and see. This is what, if I listen to you, it's just I can't say, and we are in between and waiting to see what this coalition is going to deliver.
Well, a lot of the security agenda, if we recall, in this country, the domestic view of Muslims in this country as the enemy within, we're seeing all these CCTV cameras, there's a big controversial issue in Birmingham about this, and how the community itself has been saying, stop demonising all of us, you know, we don't support terrorism, we don't want our youngsters or our people involved in this, and yet we are all seen through this lens. That was driven because we did go into other people's countries and there was a genuine security threat. But the way the Labour government handled it, because they couldn't say we're at a greater risk because of our own actions, it was about it making it a Muslim, an ideological, religion-based issue only, taking the politics out of it. So my hope is that if there is a scaling back from these invasions abroad, then the discourse around Muslims domestically could change. That's where my hope lies. But at the same time, I'm not naive about the fact, you know, there are interests.
Yes, what we heard also from Muslims and some politicians inside is now it's going to be clearer because the Labour had something which is, you know, seemingly something which is trying to be close and connected to the Muslim communities, but in fact, they were not doing this at the international level as well as the domestic level. The point for me now is really to come to this. If you are talking to British Muslims, and it's something which is quite important not only in Britain, and your advice here are quite, you know, it's quite important because it's everywhere in Europe. We have this trend and you know, populist parties
it's a rightist.
Yes, exactly.
It's
so if now you have to advise the British Muslims as well as the European Muslims in which way they have, let us speak about the UK now, after the elections, how do you think they should be involved in local politics and national politics, knowing that now we are in a situation where we are not sure what is going to happen with this coalition?
Okay, well, you can look at it from two points of view which are connected. If you're asking me, well, how is this scapegoating going to finish? Because there were two things, I think, the pressures of the Muslim. One was a foreign policy, but now there's a domestic situation with the economic recession, and the scapegoats will be Muslims. In the 20th century, it was Jewish people that all the ills of society were, you know, attributed to them. And whether we like it or not, any breakdown in social cohesion will be laid at the door of Muslims. We've already seen that the ground is fertile for that. So I would say both on the principled issue of justice for all, I feel that an alternative discourse around the economy, around justice for ordinary people, an alternative analysis of what went wrong and what we need to be doing, instead of this logic of cuts, 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 which nobody in the mainstream is questioning, Muslims, I think, should be advocating that and being.
So can you give me an example, a practical example, if you have on local level, what a Muslim, a British Muslim could do?
For example, the Compass, there's a think tank, has got a campaign around, you know, we have low wage issues, high wage issues, how the bonus culture has distorted the economy. For example, national insurance contributions of people who earn over £800 a week are 0%. Everybody else pays 11%. Just to make that more equal would generate £8 billion for the economy. We're talking about £6 billion of cuts.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. So this is why the Muslims and all the other citizens get involved in these
kinds of things. There's something called the Robin Hood tax, which really puts forward a very cohesive alternative on the economic stuff, about how small changes in the banking sector can actually have a huge positive impact domestically and internationally. And I think as Muslims, you know, in terms of being driven by these ideals of justice and equality, these are key campaigns that we should be part of reinforcing and joining. So there's plenty out there to do. And we don't just think, well, elections come and gone. The issues that we care about, whether it's about equality on our doorsteps or these big issues like climate change, like war, like the economy, we have to be part of that process.
So it's